Okay, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you lead us as we're out to worship this morning, Lord, and help us just to enter your worship, Father. We don't just know that you're going to forgive us and that you love us, Father, but that we actually have a relationship with you, Father. I think it's important for us to know that we're forgiven, and I think it's important for us to know that we're always going to have a Father that's there for us to pick us up when we fall. But Father, help us to communicate with you all the time, Lord, and have a good relationship. And when we're down, we talk to you, and when we're happy, we talk to you, and it's just this healthy thing, Lord God. Trust in you, Lord God. Father, I do pray that you're it for us, Lord. I pray that we put you first, Lord, and that we do give you all of our worship, Father. these pieces broken and shattered. In mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken.
Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
You know, I just love that song. And if you're saved, that should be how you feel. Amazing grace. sweet sound that you saved a wretch like me. If you have ever given your life to Jesus Christ, that's how you felt. That you saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Isn't that how God has spoken to you? Weren't you lost and he found you? I once was blind, but now I see. Isn't that our Lord? He makes the blind to see and the lame to walk. You know, he finds the lost. He heals the wounded. He binds up the brokenhearted. That's our God. He gives new life. He gives a new spirit. He gives a new purpose to your life, a new direction. That's our God. That's who he is. All right, we have, George, do you want to, there's a couple films that are coming out, and we're just going to take 1 second, and I'm only going to do one of them. There's two films, Christian films, that are coming up if you want to go see it in the theaters. One of them is called, from Franklin Graham, about the Ebola crisis, and that is called Facing the Darkness, Joel? Facing Darkness. Okay, and that's starting in theaters this, what, Tom?
Going one theater left. Okay. And it's tomorrow.
Okay.
At it was a Hollywood 20 in Sarasota.
Okay, Facing Darkness at the Hollywood 20 in Sarasota.
It's playing other St. Pete.
And then what's, and then there's another one coming out from Lee Strobel called Case for Christ.
Oh, cool.
And it's playing now.
Won't they eventually move to a cheaper theater? Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Some of the theaters don't want to play with some of the Christian movies. So, but then we also have the movie The Case for Christ. And for those of you who don't know, he used to be an atheist. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and how he came to know Christ, and how he came to experience his love and forgiveness, and just digging into the facts after, I think, his wife got saved. And saw a transformation in her life and in the kids and in the family. And finally, just dug into the evidence. And so we want to show you a little clip. And then, Uncle Tom, you can tell us when that's playing as well. So, George, if you would roll film.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start? If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
Pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids. This is something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And is it evidence you're trading?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There's no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full-blown crucifixion.
Because I write something down when I create the dirt, it doesn't make it true.
I felt for something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
I'm praying for you.
Do you really want to know the truth, or
is your mind all giving it up?
Stop blaming me, and the church, and God, and do your job.
For the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
Uncle Tom, when is that?
It's playing now at Carmichael on 53rd.
That's right around the corner.
And also down in Sarasota.
Okay, awesome.
Right now.
You know, that's Christ for us. You can't. You know, when you encounter the living God, you can't stay where you are. You know what I'm saying? You can't follow Jesus Christ and stay where you are at the same time. He is a life-changing God. He's more than lip service. He's more than coming to church. He is a transformation, transforming God. That's my Jesus. And that's many of your Jesus. And I want you to know my Jesus in that same way. And he wants you to know him in that same way. And so I would encourage you guys to go and see that movie. And listen, if money is a problem, and I know I'm going to get in trouble probably for saying this, we don't have tons, but if you want to see this movie and you do not have the funds to go see it, I mean, you're just, there's nothing, but you will go see this movie, then I'm going to tell you to go see Carl or Gary. And if you're willing, if you have absolutely nothing, we're even willing to give it to you just so that you can grow in the faith. Okay? That's how much we just want to encourage you to go and to grow in your faith. Okay? And then Carl and Gary can yell at me later. Okay. All right. So. They're awesome. Poor guys. Hey, by the way, thank you for everybody who helped at the CYA Christian Youth in Action last night. I heard the kids were awesome, making pork sandwiches and hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff like that. No more hamburgers yet. Oh, by the way, speaking of hamburgers, okay, just so I don't forget, we do have some left over from yesterday that were grilled up, and so after service, you can see my lovely wife in the back there, and we've got some buns and some burgers that are left over, so if you'd like a hamburger, they're already cooked, so we're not going to recook them on the grill, but we're going to heat them up in the mic. If you guys want some burgers, you're welcome to go back there and we'll have them for you. Also, free bread loaves. We've got a ton from Panera, so if you want some, take them in Jesus' name. Also, we promised you for the North River Pregnancy Center. Again, for those of you who weren't here when Laura spoke, it's a pregnancy center to help women or young single girls or anybody who's struggling with a decision, you know, to have a baby or to maybe and to have an abortion, yes, basically. And so basically the bottom line is they offer services for moms to be able to have their baby or even adoption services, or if they decide to keep the baby, help before, ultrasounds after, stuff like that, and it's all just free in Jesus' name. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Chris and Laura, if you would just hand, we're just going to give your brochure, put in your glove compartment, put in your purse. You might meet somebody this upcoming year that is struggling and doesn't know what to do if they're pregnant and they're struggling and they're being told one thing by the world. Oh, don't bother with it. Why take it time? This is a life that God formed. He knit together in his mother's womb. So we just want you to take it, even if it's not for you. Maybe it's for someone else. And you can give it to them. And they can be helped. And you will have saved a life and have rescued a life. And so we just want to put all those in your hands for your family. Also, thanks for everybody who helped out. So many people were helping at the picnic. If anybody else took pictures, let me know. I didn't see any pictures of the bounce house. There's a whole bunch of you didn't. But there was a ton of people. It was an amazing time, but so many people were helping to cook and set up. And I mean, the food was what?
Awesome.
It was amazing.
Finger looking good.
Except for Mark, who burnt his hands.
Oh, yeah.
It's only about 500 degrees, right?
Something like that.
That's flavor.
Other than that, he had some.
I
didn't say that. No, I've got. I had this one too. Just if you can't see all the people over here that were up on the benches and all that, but it was just an amazing time. Now here's the funny thing. Okay, the funny thing is I had asked. I think I'd asked one person. Somebody else might have asked one person just to give a testimony if there was time, and because I didn't know. You know, sometimes it's scary to get up in front of people. Isn't it sometimes? And talk? Man, I couldn't stop you guys. I'm telling you, there was 20 people, 20, if I had to stop it, you know? And so one of the messages that that God gave Yuri was, I think, from Revelation 12, which says, talking about Christians, that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimonies. And sometimes we share these testimonies so that you can hear the reality of God changing a life and changing a direction and changing a purpose. And so what we're going to do is, the one person I did ask to share last week didn't have a chance because everybody else was sharing these amazing testimonies about God in the teens. I don't know, there was at least 5 or 6 teens that got up and shared too. It was amazing. And so I wanted to ask... Can I ask it?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. All right, I'm going to ask you to come up in just a second, so I just want to make sure that that was okay. Yeah. Oh, that was from the chicken wing night. Sorry about that. That's what we wanted.
Bye.
Bye. Now I'm going to skip all this other stuff, too, just for next week. Skip. Real quickly, though, prayer meetings, Sunday mornings at 9 and 9:30 here. Encourage you to come. Also, don't forget, ladies, there's no women's Bible study just for this month, and then we're starting the Breathe Women's Bible Study with Priscilla Shear, and so we're starting that next month. And so if you're interested in that, please see Lisa, and we'll put you sign you up. Also, the Whosoever's Youth Group started back up. It's on the 1st and 3rd Wednesdays. We had it last week. It was actually awesome. I mean, it was really amazing. Time. And so, guys, is there youth group this week?
No.
Thank you. Okay, so remember, so no, and then the week after that, we'll do it again. Josh even had PowerPoint slides. I don't know if he's here. Is he here today? Man, I was so proud of you. Josh, man, you guys did an amazing job setting up and everything. And Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study, of course, you guys are welcome to come and learn the Word of God. And then Kingdom Living on Friday, a small group, and that's at Sue Berger's house. And then I have amazing stuff to say about this, but I'm going to wait. Is that a cute picture? All right, we're going to do baby dedication. We're not going to do it today. Well, for time's sake, we're going to do it another day. But we've got another baby dedication, so that's very exciting. And then, would you like to come on up? You can either take the couch or this. You're the man. And just going to spend 5 or 10 minutes of whatever God wants you to say. I just want you to feel.
Okay, good.
No pressure.
All right.
Okay.
On that note, I think before I open my mouth anymore, if you all would agree with me in prayer on a couple of things, my story belongs to the Lord, and all that I want to be able to do in sharing that with you is to exalt the finished work of Christ, because that is the crux of everything for those of us that believe. So if you all would just bow your heads and agree with me in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you and trust and know that you hear our prayers and that your desire is to answer them in your way, Lord. I would have no story to tell if it weren't for you. The story in my life, Lord, belongs fully to you. And I ask that you know the needs of each person in this room here today, where they are, what they're struggling with, what they're coping and dealing with. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide my words and mold my words, Lord, to be exactly what each of those people need to hear from you, Lord, not from me. Like I said, this story, Lord, is really, it's your story. You're just borrowing my life and my flesh to carry it out. And I ask for you to speak to them in power and glory and light, Lord. That you are it. You're everything to us, Lord. Without you, we truly have absolutely nothing. I ask these things in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So, confession. All week, I have struggled for actually almost 2 weeks now, because I was hoping that there wouldn't be so many of you here, and I would somehow weasel my way out of this. It would feel a lot better. But as the Lord would have it, there's a lot of you. Oh, boy. So I'm going to bear my sins before you all. I kind of struggled with where to begin to tell you about what God has done with me, and I decided that I'm lucky there are kids in here, so we won't share the awful details of that. But like many of us, searching for love, we make many compromises in our life, and we make choices that aren't good ones, and we suffer the consequences of those. So that was my early years in life. And then along came August of 1999, and God was with me during a very critical time in my life. I was at an intersection here in town, and a woman ran a red light and obliterated my car head-on. Because of the rate of speed that she was going was estimated to be so fast, there wasn't very much of me bodily, and the impact was really great, and it threw my tiny little body up against the seatbelt, which resulted in a catastrophic liver injury. My liver was severed into three pieces, which meant that I was immediately bleeding internally. Luckily, the Lord had me right across the bridge from Manatee Memorial, where they were able to quickly somewhat get to a thought to be diagnosis of what was going on, and to be able to decide there was a higher level of care that was needed in order to fix what was broken in me. And so I was quickly taken to Tampa General, which is where I lived for the next long time. Upon getting there, the surgeons were ready to do an exploratory surgery to try and determine the scope and the nature of what had happened. And they did find, that's when it was known that the liver was severed in that way. And from that night, my body was altered internally in some pretty dramatic ways. So half of me operates for the whole of me. But because of the cut that they did from the sternum to about the pelvic area, I was not able to be closed up for the next almost 9 months. There were different phases of what the surgeons were doing to try and create a way to, if I woke up, because I was in a coma from the time, the night of the accident until 8.5 weeks later. They moved me around from room to room in the ICU, and it was a very difficult time for my family. I was in La La Land. They were doing all the suffering at that time. But God was really using them in some very miraculous ways, in spite of the fact that I was probably the worst off of most of the people that they were dealing with, children. Every day it was a 9 o'clock, I'm fine, and at 10 o'clock, I'm dying. And so it was very hard on my parents, but in spite of that, God gave them the power to be able to love and to minister and to pray with and to support people in the waiting room that were there. So God brought in but my mother and father and my grandparents, who are strong believers in the Lord, brought in the church. And it was such a beautiful thing of what he was doing in people's lives in that waiting room. Why, here I am down the hallway dying in a bed, and The doctors were never really sure whether or not I would make it out of that. My chances were truly 50-50, and he said not a day was it better than that until I woke up and things started to take a different turn. Once I did wake up, I woke up into a very different life and body than I had known, although to me it seemed like no time had gone by. And there were lots of new things. I was unable to walk. They were communicating with me by blinking 3 times for yes, 2 times for no. Flashcards, that was the story of my life for quite so many months. In total, I have had over 100 blood transfusions. I've undergone roughly 17 surgeries, and still today I'm known as the only known living survivor of a grade 5 liver laceration. It's deadly. Your body has no toxin filter. You become toxic and die. I'm taken care of presently by many surgeons, two of them transplant surgeons here within the state. So if you need a liver transplant, you meet my doctors. One of which is a Christian, which is a beautiful thing because he has higher thoughts on things and how we look at them. I'm grateful for that. So the Lord was used that time in my life to give me a story to tell people about how he raised me up. The Lord sustained my life during that time. And to the present, things are still very difficult in my daily life. I've had to learn how to compensate for things that were lost. And in the recent years, things have kind of taken a little bit of a sadder turn because they told me that my medication was set to fail roughly around October of this year. And I'm second to God. I am dependent on this medication for life. And once it fails, that's the end of me very shortly after. So that has been a hard pill to swallow. But in that, we say, God is good. He knows what he's doing. He can outlive that medication. He can make it last longer. But nonetheless, things are still up and down with me, and I require a lot of care. But God was ready to use. Most people think that because of that, I was saved at that experience, which I had actually accepted Christ when I was 6 years old and ran down the aisle because I was not going to this place called hell. Definitely not happening. So I was ready, like my mother, to run down the aisle and get in the baptismal and clarify that I am not going to this fire and flames hell. But so God used the accident to give me the story to tell, which it opened doors for me to share the story about what God's done and about, because since I'm the only known living survivor of it, it's made it possible for me to share locally, nationally, and globally my story. To show people the power, the sheer power of God to save and raise a life that is beyond any type of medical help. There's none. They said even today there would be no possibility if I came in today that they would do anything different than they did 17 years ago. So with that story, I wound up in North Carolina, and I was at a writing and speaking conference, a Christian Women's Writing and Speaking Conference, and I was really intimidated because I don't do very well in large groups of women. I felt really inadequate. I wasn't a mother. What did I have in common with these girls? They're talking about their kids. And I sat down in this chair, and I'm like, Lord, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Why? Why did I think I needed to come here? And I said, Lord, please just give me one friend to challenge me. And I opened my eyes, and down in the chair plops this beautiful woman, and her and I became like two sisters over the course of that weekend. And we talked theology and doctrine and our lives. And I was so enamored by her because she had set such an example and the bar so high of what I considered to be the victorious life. And I thought, now what is it that she believes that's so different than me that I feel like I'm living in defeat and she looks like she's living in victory? And I finally got the guts to ask her. I said, Devita, I said, what is it that you believe that's different than me? Because I'm thinking we believe the same stuff. Christ crucified, that's it. And I thought, well, why am I? She says, you have not realized how much God loves you. So she challenged me to take home this little challenge of putting up on an index card the verse, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And she says, you pray that God is going to reveal the meaning of that verse to you. And I went home in June, and I take that up on my mirror. And every day until October, I read that, and I prayed, Lord, please reveal the meaning of this verse to me, because I want to live like Devita's living. I want that kind of trust, that kind of hope, that kind of faith and belief in you, Lord, that you can do anything. I mean, there were women at that conference that were bawling their eyes out crying because their books weren't getting picked up by the publishing houses, and Devita had one written from beginning to end. She was just, whatever. If they don't pick the book, it's just not who God has for me. And I thought, this is something else to behold her and this faith of hers. So I kept thinking about that and praying and trusting and believing that God was going to answer that verse. So one Saturday in, I call it Ugly Pajama Day, I am on my bed in my very ugly pajamas, no makeup, watching a televised preaching on the high priest's garments. And I was somewhat enamored with this preacher because he taught in a way that I was not familiar with. And I've grown up in the Southern Baptist Church, so it's not for lack of exposure that I'm biblically stupid. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking there's something so powerful about what he's saying, but I don't get it. And finally, I was just like, why is he telling us all these details? The bell, the pomegranate, the stones on the breastplate. Well, what is the deal with this? And I finally said, Lord, out loud, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this? And it was as if in my spirit the Lord spoke to me. And he said, from the second that Adam fell into sin, I was making a way to be back in relationship with you. And then I thought, it was like a conversation in my head. I'm like, but why? Why? Now, I had always believed that God loved everything that he created, and especially the people, because he set us above all else in creation. But I wasn't so convinced at 26 years old that God loved and cared about me, even though he gave me life again that I didn't deserve by any means. Didn't earn, didn't deserve. Here I am, life after that. And I thought, so all this was love. And it came over me like a rushing wave coming down. And I was just out of the floor of my bedroom, and I'm like, Lord, I mean, I just couldn't behold his glory. I'm like, God, you are so good. You are so good. You knew all of the crap and the yuck and the sin that I would commit from birth to this day. I'm in my ugly pajamas, Lord, and you knew that I would be sitting on this couch wanting and needing to know your love like never before, that it was personal, that it was Heather that you loved. It was Heather that you died for, that you wanted me to walk in victory. You don't want me to walk like Christ was never on the cross. It was real, and it was in his word the whole time, and I didn't see it. And I was so overwhelmed. I was on the face of the floor of my bedroom, just overcome with the love of the Lord. And I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I mean, cheating death with God wasn't half as exhilarating as being fully overcome by truly by the love of God and a revelation of his grace. That his grace, which I used to have a friend of my grandfather who they did prison ministry together, and every Sunday he would say, Heather, what is grace? And I gave him the definition of a free gift. He's like, you don't get it. And I'm thinking, oh, yes, I do. Don't you know who my grandparents are? Like, I'm, you know, like three generations in, I've been up front in the church, in the womb, piano side, every Sunday. I know what grace is. It's a free gift. But the truth is that Heather did not know what grace was. God literally himself taught me what is grace and showed me that my identity was found in Christ. Not in my futile efforts of trying to be good enough, which are still to this day very futile, but in Christ alone. That Christ crucified is the power of God to save a life, to teach a girl in her ugly pajamas that, you know, he's the God of all, and that, yes, he loves you. He's the God over all things and for all situations, whatever we're needing, whatever we're trusting for. Christ crucified is the answer, because we have a huge inheritance in Christ. And, you know, and Satan likes to lie to us a whole lot and tell us lots of things to deter us away from that hope that we have in him, and to get us focused on our problem, where we forget to be Christ conscious and we're sin conscious and frustrated conscious over here with our messes. But what I want for you all to know is that if you're, and last week in so many of the testimonies I heard, we're all kind of looking for that same thing at the core. We're all wanting to know that we personally are intimately loved. And the answer to that is yes, we are. And I pray that whatever way it is for each of you, that God can answer the same way he answered me in that prayer of who am I, my identity being found in him. That he would do that very thing for each of you in a personal way, that you will know that it is the God of all that loves you and wants you to know that love. And that another thing is my time that day, there was nothing that would have given me any indication that my life was going to change. But there's an urgency to knowing Christ that we need to not wait. There's absolutely nothing that should stop us from stopping where we are today and making that decision, that we realize that sin has set us apart from God. God sent Jesus. He started the second that Adam fell. He was making his way back into covenant with us, the new covenant that was going to happen through the blood and Christ's body on the cross. I mean, this time of the year speaks to our freedom, to the power of what God did fully and completely, one time for all. If you sin, again, he's not going to put Christ back up on the cross. The work is already done. It is already finished. You just need to step in to what he's already done for you. Step into that by repenting of your sin and believing that Jesus was the Son of God. And turn your life over to him. There will be nothing else as exhilarating and as wild and adventurous as that alone. In an effort to help you, those of you that are visual learners, to be able to get to see the power of God with your own eyes, in the yellow folder are a couple of photographs of me during that time in the hospital. Some of them are, the first page of them are easier to look at. You'll see me in a coma. But the page after that is graphic. So if you have a weak stomach, you don't do blood and guts, or you're a child, I ask that mom and dad look before they allow you to look and see. But this is so you can see and you can know and be rest assured that God is very powerful, and he's willing to do the same thing for you as he did for me, because I'm no special girl. I'm just another sinner saved by grace. So I will start over here by Amy and Josh and pass it around. And these are for the glory of God, for you to see that power. So I hope you'll challenge yourself to be able to have a look. Now, I know Pastor Darren doesn't like that. Thank you all. They altered the vein system really dramatically in me, and it's put think of it like a pressure cooker. Yeah. So we've created an environment that's like a pressure cooker, and it leaks, and I have what's known as GI bleeds. The medication is to try and bring the pressure in the body down that's been created surgically. So, but it apparently has a longevity, which 17 years is getting pretty long.
Josh, I'm going to ask you to come up. Do you mind just taking some oil and then the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And then if somebody feels led, I just want you to grab the microphone. If it's you, great. If it's for someone else, we just want somebody to grab that mic and to pray over our sister.
Well, Lord, I do. I just thank you for Heather, Lord. I've known her for many years and just always inspired by what you've done in her life and how she gets to share her testimony, Lord God. And now we just lift her up to you once again, Lord. We just pray that you would be Lord over all things in her life, Lord. And she submits to your will, Lord. And so we just pray for her concerns. We pray for Barry and Grayson, Lord, family, Carl and Susie. Lord, just for wisdom, encouragement, Lord God. And we especially pray for Heather's health, Lord God. And Delina said, Lord, you are in absolute control, Lord God. And we just pray for your will and her life to be done, Lord God. And just going to anoint her with oil here, Lord God. We just lift her up to you. She's your daughter, and you care for her more than we ever could, Lord.
Father, I thank you for saving the life of my daughter. I remember the day of the accident, what I heard you say to me over and over and over. One word, it was pray, 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 pray. Here we are again, praying. Not just praying, but praying, believing. Not believing in a medical doctor, not believing in the medication, believing in you. You have your hand on Heather. You have blessed her with this precious child into our family. He needs his mother. I need my daughter. Barry needs his wife. And this world needs somebody that will boldly proclaim the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we command this medicine to work until you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And until then, we're not believing the lies of the enemy. We're not believing fear. We're not going with that. We're going with hope, living hope in Jesus Christ, who has saved Heather for his purposes. He does all things well. He finishes what he set out. I pray that Heather would live a surrendered life with her eyes on the cross. Live a holy, sanctified life, open to your spirit, mighty in power, humbled, with her eyes on the cross forever. And I thank you for these friends of ours in this body that would take the time to anoint my daughter and to pray over her. I thank you, Lord, for this day, in your precious name.
Yes.
This is from Isaiah 61. Jesus said this was spoken of him. 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Father, we claim this for our sister Heather, Lord. Let there be the oil of gladness on her head, no ashes, but the oil of gladness. And we thank you for what you've done.
In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Lord God, this is a medicine that never, ever, ever stops working. It is your medicine for our bodies, for our spirits, for our souls. There is eternal hope in this word. And we trust this with every fiber of our beings. But because it is by our faith in you and by what you can and have done in us that we take our next breath. Without that faith, we cannot breathe. There is no hope without you, but there is eternal hope with you and through you. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And you promise, Lord, that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. You are totally trustworthy of everything, for everything, in all things. And our only true identity is in you. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And that not of ourselves, but a free gift from God. Lord, you will not take that gift away. You just won't. We love you. And we thank you in advance for the miracle that you have already done. And we are walking forward to receive, not hoping to receive, but expecting that it's done. In the name of Jesus, that name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that includes a new liver if that is what is necessary. It is done. Just like Jesus said on the cross. He didn't say, oops, except I forgot this. He forgot nothing. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished.
Dear Lord, I pray that right now every one of us here who has experienced, by experience, the miracles that you perform and the prayers that you've answered in our lives, and who remembers back when you've answered prayers for us, that we would remember those times that you have answered our prayers, when we came crying before you for help, when there was nobody else to go to but you, and remember that you answered us, and you still answer. And so, God, I ask if it's in your will that somehow, miraculously, you would heal Heather, God, and that it would glorify you in every single way, and that nobody would be able to say, oh, it just happened, or maybe it just happened just because, or they got lucky. Or did you just happen to pray and that just happened to happen? I want people to look at it and say, there's no way that that could have happened unless God did it. Yeah. I thank you. I thank you for those times. Those times that I still look back on in my life, and we all do, that you've answered us, and let this be one of those times. 20, 30 years from now, everybody in this room will know that you are God. No matter what happens in our lives, and whenever Satan comes in and makes us doubt and makes us think that you don't love us and you don't answer prayers, we can say, no, I remember I was there in that room that day, and I remember what happened. You can't deceive me, because I know. I didn't read it. I know it. I didn't hear it from somebody else. I was there. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Father, as Heather was sharing her testimony, I just thought, what a beautiful, just well-spoken, just inspiring girl, Lord, just sharing her testimony, Lord. As we're standing here, Lord God, and as we were praying, I know, as Buddy was saying, 20 years from now, Father, I thank you for the first part of her testimony, for these first 17 years, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Father, all I keep thinking is testimony part two,
yes.
Father.
Yes.
I pray that 17 years from now, Lord God, Heather gets to show up again and just share with us what's been going on since then, Lord. I just praise you for that, Lord. That's just what keeps being put on my heart. Testimony part two. Lord. We're going to trust you in that, Lord.
Yes. Glory to God.
But we do thank you so much, Lord, for testimony
That's
part
right.
one.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
We praise
Amen.
You for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God.
And we do see her fruit and her love for you, Lord God, and that is a testimony in itself.
Jesus in that intimate, personal, real, life-changing way, you know, you can talk with her. You can grab her arm. And she'll be happy to go and sit, take his sign and talk with you and introduce you to the one who saved her and gave her purpose and gave her life and let her see. Well, I'm kind of glad we didn't have that baby education now. Let's, isn't that wonderful, though?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's just have a little mini message then. Yeah. Okay, open to Romans chapter 14. Thank you for everybody who gave their testimony. And we give a testimony, too. It's not about ourselves. It's about Jesus and about what he's done for us. That's why we teach this word, this word is a letter for us. It's loving. It's corrective. It's instructive. It's all those things for us. You know, we left off the end of 13, you know. Told us, you guys, oh, I forgot I even had a PowerPoint. I'm not even paying attention. But, you know, at the end of 13, the last message he gave us was, you know, was to wake up. Do you remember that? Wake up from your slumber. He said to put off. You remember that illustration that I was doing last week when you saw your pastor, if you missed it, take clothes off, which is, I'm sure, very uncomfortable for some people. Take off those black garments, you know, put them off to ease the darkness and put on the armor of light. And then you remember that yellow raincoat I put on at the very end as an illustration. You know, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I put on that raincoat, I was totally covered. From head to toe, you know my purpose from that raincoat. It was a bright yellow raincoat. You know why I was wearing that raincoat. You know that I wear this because I'm going out believing it's going to rain. And this is my purpose here. In that same way, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ in that way, people are going to know something is different. There's a different color about you, a different the way you walk, you talk, you think, you live. You smell, maybe. Oh, yes, the aroma of Christ. Thank you about that. I was thinking. But she is so true, isn't it? The aroma of Christ. I still remember Amanda Panda talking about the sweet-smelling brownies that she baked. And when she bakes them, that's that sweet smell going up. You know? And I remember that. And that's what putting on the Lord Jesus Christ does in our lives. So some of us need to wake up, put off the old deeds of darkness, not put on the new stuff over the old clothes, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 14, he's talking to us about unity and to be unified and even in through diversity. You know, we're very different. You know, honestly, I'm looking at people when we're during the worship time and I see Heidi all wrapped up in her like 2-foot cozy blanket. And then I see, like, my friends Amberly or W. Joe, and they're just fanning themselves because they're so hot. And I see some are wrapped up, like, you know, Wendy Joe, she's got a little blankie on. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I wish somebody would hit that AC to 71 at least. You know? And so we're very different people, aren't we? You know, somebody might, we're all very different from one another. But God wants us to bring us together. And there are weak brothers and there are strong brothers. And sisters, and God wants us to learn to at least on the points that aren't critical to salvation and things like that, to agree on things and to not fight, because the enemy is always coming in. He wants to divide. He is always looking for a way to, hey, if you're a blessing to this church, well, I want to just separate you so that you're not a blessing to this church. Oh, I just want you to separate you so that you're not a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to separate you. That's his whole goal. If he can just do that, it diminishes the Lord's power. And so we're just going to go through, I'm obviously not going to go through a lot of verses I had planned. So let me just give that up right now to the Lord. And let's go through maybe 8 verses, which means I'll maybe go through 3. One. Okay, whatever. But we're going to try, and we're going to get through at least a few. So give me just a second here. And remember, if I could say anything to you guys, not that taxes are due. That's not what it's going to be. Give me a second. I didn't realize I had so many slides in 15. That's amazing. What a great teaching.
125.
Oh, I was like, that's a lot.
125.
I tell you, man. Who teaches this? Okay. Well, anyway. Oops, did I pick? Oh, yes. Now we're getting to the ends here. Okay. Okay. Yep. Okay, Romans 14, the weaker is not the brother. Okay, so can I get a good reader with the microphone? And I just want you to read chapter 14, verse 1 through 8. If you're a slow reader, don't choose this time to do it.
I have it.
Okay. I guess you're done.
Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
Everybody should underline verse 8. Yes, and highlight.
There.
Jack?
Yeah, let's look at that verse 2 again.
Why not?
One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Hey, does that mean no more veggies?
No, that's it. You still bring those vegetables. They're more popular. They're more popular than they should be sugary bananas, and probably a lot healthier. But, you know, one thing that we're talking about here is, you know, and what he's talking about, these were kind of like hot buttons back in the old church, okay? Okay, here's days, okay? So holidays or what you eat, you know? You're coming from a Jewish background, you know, and then a Gentile background, very different cultures. And so now they're all together, hodgepodgey in a church, kind of like we are. We've got different folks, different backgrounds, different stuff. And God's thrown us all together. And so the first thing he wants to say to us, you know, is the first thing I underlined, or actually I highlighted, is accept, or as your translation said, receive those whose faith is weak. Now listen, that is really an important thing. You know, well, actually even before that, I want to say this. A lot of people talk about, boy, I wish we could get back to the old days. You know, in the church, when everyone was so unified. And I think whoever says that, and then they're well-intentioned in their heart, they've never read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, because, you know, when you look at some of these things, Paul, like in Ephesians and Colossians, he was telling folks, he was telling them, remember, you got to be unified. You remember in the book of Acts when people started getting saved? The first thing that happened was there was a fight between the widows. Remember the Greco-Romans, the Grecian Jews, and the Hebraic Jews were fighting over who gets the most food, and there was fighting there. If you remember, like in that was in Acts 6:1, in Galatians 5:15, Paul's exhorting the church. He's like, hey, you guys, stop biting each other. Stop devouring each other. You're of the same family. Love one another. He's like, if you continue to bite and devour one another, I had a slide that showed, like, it was a cartoon slide, but it showed, like, sheep eating each other with bloody, and I was excited not to put it up there. But, thank you. But that's Galatians 5:1. But that can happen in a church where people are biting, but I'm so judging. You're judging me. Well, you're judging me. It's like, oh, my goodness. And you know, I think about, you know, Philippians 4:2, girl, was it Syntyche and Euodia, they were fighting so bad, these girls in the church, and he's saying, Paul's saying, hey, I know they love the Lord. He's like, but I urge you in the Lord to make peace with one another. And then he called on the rest of the body, because it was starting to cause a church split, and people were leaving. He's like, I'm urging you guys as a body, bring them together in the Lord, so there wouldn't be that. I think of, like, in Galatians 2, or even in Acts 15, like Paul and Barnabas, they had such a sharp dispute. You remember that? That Paul went one way and Barnabas went another. And so there's always been a lot of this going on. You know, Barnabas, the son of encouragement, Paul the apostle, and they're still doing this. And so we have to be sensitive to these things and really consider others in our Christian walk. So the first thing it says is accept those whose faith is weak, or receive those whose faith is weak. And we should take that word seriously. You know, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and he's saying to me, that spiritual maturity isn't like a requirement for fellowship. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of the testimonies you heard last Sunday from one of the youth that got up, we had, like, our core youth group folks there. And then, you know, what they would do is they would invite their friends. Now, some of those in that had just gotten saved. And so they would be like, well, I want to invite some of my unsaved friends. And they would invite their unsaved friends. Well, you know, if as a youth group we were like, well, we can't hang around with you folks that you just got saved, you know, because we're so much more spiritual. That wouldn't be right. You know, or their friends would invite them. The person who gave a testimony, should I say his name? No, the Lord's told me not to say his name. It was very powerful. It brought me to tears out there. I cried. And he shared the story of, yeah, somebody just told me to come to this youth group, and at first I didn't want to go. You know, he shared, and then when God started gripping my heart, when he first got there, he was a pill. I mean, he's obnoxious. He'd fall asleep in the middle of my teaching. I'm like, dude, wake up. You know, I'm just telling you, he was rude. He was insulting. He used vulgar. I mean, and you watch, and they would invite these kids, and some of them would come for a while, and then they're like, you know what? No, I don't want to follow the Lord. And they go off, and they do their thing, and oh, they're getting pregnant or whatever. Or this one would get saved. And you watch that continually happening as they're inviting your friends. How would it be if we were like, no, we can't, we don't want to minister to you guys, because what would that be? Prideful, right?
Yeah.
Was Jesus that way? No. Accept those faith through speech. Now, we're not saying, I want to make a difference here between, like, rebelliousness and sin. Sometimes people can be weak in their faith because of that. But Paul's not saying that. He's saying accept those who are weak. And we can have weak brothers and sisters for different reasons. And I just give you four that I thought of. First, they may be babies in the Lord, or they may be young in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Babies are weak, aren't they? Yes. I don't see baby Jasp out there pumping iron. You know? you know, some of my older boys are wanting barbells, dumbbells, and stuff, you know, because they're starting to, like, man up and juice up, and they're wanting to do more stuff. And so we got some, and they're, you know, they're starting to do that each day and get pumped up. And then I got little Ezekiel, who's 6, who thinks, you know, he's like 20. And so, you know, he wants to get right up there, grab those barbells, right? And then he goes to just one, you know what I mean? And you're thinking, oh my gosh, he's swinging, he's going to hit me. There goes the night window, crash! You know? He can't do it because he's not supposed to, because he's still a baby, a young in the Lord. So we have to remember these folks. Some are young in the Lord and weak in their faith. We have to receive them and accept them kind of right where they're at. Well, maybe they're still dressing that way, or maybe they're still this and that, and then receive them. They're still babies. They're immature in their faith. So the first thing he said is to take seriously, as a Christian, accept or receive those whose faith are weak. They may also be weak because they're sick or they're diseased. And I don't mean physically, of course, but maybe they've had, they've come from a very legalistic background, and they're very sick, and so maybe they're very, you know, staunch. Have you ever met folks like that? Yeah. And they're just like, oh, accept them. You know, if they want to dress up in a suit and tie here, then great, let them dress up in a suit and tie here. That's okay. You know, if they think blah, 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 whatever, maybe they've had, maybe it's not legalism, maybe they're sick or diseased because they've had bad doctrine. And they're coming here and they're so scarred and they've got all these bad theologies and, you know, just receive them just as they are. You don't need to correct every single thing right off the bat on their first week here. Do you know what I'm saying? There are many times when folks will say stuff that I know is incorrect and I'll just sit there and smile. They're new, they're not ready for that yet. They went through a 5-minute conversation and 20 things they said were wrong. Maybe I'll throw in one for that first time. Receive those who are weak. Somebody could be weak in the Lord. What does that mean? It could also mean maybe they're malnourished. Maybe they've gone to a church that doesn't teach all the truth or doesn't teach well. You know, that's why we want to teach the full counsel of God here, because we want you to know all of it. Now, sometimes topical teachings can be fantastic because they address certain issues. But unless you get the whole counsel of God, all of it, it's in the Word, you're not going to understand God's character right. And you're going to be easily manipulated by every wind of doctrine because you don't know any better. That's why you have to learn. We have to teach the whole counsel of God. Right? So maybe they're malnourished. They could also be weak because they're lacking in exercise. You know, sometimes folks just come in and they're not living the life. You know what I mean? Why is everybody looking at my stomach right now? But I'm not talking physical exercise, of course. I'm talking spiritual. You're not taking what you're getting and giving it away and working it out. You know, your salvation, right? Maybe you're not doing that. And so you're weak in the faith. So the first thing is to receive those who are weak in the faith. And then it says, without... We are just going to get through one verse, aren't we? Now, whoever said that, was that my son?
No.
I'll review you later.
Well, thinking about it...
Accept him whose faith is weak... Who's Josh? Without passing judgment, it says, on disputable matters. Now, this is important. So, it says, what, does any of your translations say anything different, verse 1, without passing judgment on, what does yours say, Mark?
It says, on his opinions.
Oh, good, okay, good. What else?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Doubtful.
Doubtful?
Disputations.
Doubtful disputations, right?
Oral.
What was it?
Oral.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the word, if I'm remembering the word in Greek, yes. It does mean, I wrote it all down, but I can't even read my own writings, it's too small. It does mean opinions, I remember that.
Yeah.
So, it's not talking about, you know, foundational faith things, okay? Because we are to make judgments on those type of things, right? It's talking about things that are people's opinions, things that are in the Bible that may be not so perfectly clear. Do you know what I'm saying? I wonder if I have slides. Hold on a second. Sometimes I make these. Oh, yeah. Here, hit the lights, Chris, if you wouldn't mind. Thanks. You know, God speaks a lot about unity. He wants it, right? Behold, Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. Jesus' prayer on the eve before he was taken to the cross said, you know, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. We've got a long way to go here. St. Augustine said, in the essentials of the faith, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And that's what we're talking about here. Non-essential things, and in all things, charity and love. So what can you tell me, like, what are some things that are, would you say, are disputable? Maybe I should do it the other way first. Okay. All right, I'm sorry, Chris. I know I just told you to turn on the light, but I'm feeling a little bit bored. I'm going to speed ahead here just for a second. Don't look at anything. Okay, for example, this is a non-disputable matter. Jesus says in John 3:3, Jesus answered to Nicodemus, the religious leader who came to ask him, you know, how he could be saved. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you're born again or born anew or born of the Spirit of God or born from above, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. That's not a disputable matter. You see, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that the Word says that are clear, that maybe people don't want to hear, but that are clear, that are not. This is what the Word says. Don't you realize that the unrighteous will not, this is from 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived, because that's what the world wants to do to you. Those who indulge or live a lifestyle of sexual sin, sleeping together without marriage, that's your lifestyle. Or somebody who worships idols or commits adultery, that's your lifestyle. Or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality. Or are thieves, are you thinking of stealing is not a big deal? If this is your lifestyle, or greedy, or drunks, or abusive to people, or you cheat people, and that's who you are, this is what the Bible says. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get around these things. The Bible is very clear about that. And he says some of you, and not that we're looking down on any of those, I was some of those things. You know, I was the greedy person. I was the abusive person or whatever. I was the cheat people person. But it says some of you were once like that. But you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He changed me. You know, the inerrancy of Scripture, that the Word of God is foundational, it's God-breathed. These are things that are non-negotiable, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way by which we can get saved. That's not my opinion, that's what the Word says. Right? So these things we can't, it's non-negotiable. But there are other things that are opinions. It says one man's faith allows him to, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. So, you know, when you think about this, basically, it's saying this. You know, on these non-essential things that the Bible's not clear about, can you find a common ground? Do you know what I'm saying? What are some non-essentials?
Playing cards.
Oh, you guys, you see, okay. I forgot I put that up there for Liam. I put it smaller. Okay, playing cards. That is what else?
Dietary.
What?
Dietary restrictions.
Dietary restrictions. Right, good.
End times.
Okay, good.
Head coverings,
good. What else? Yes.
Pre-trib, mid-trib, preterist.
Yes, good. What else?
Views.
Different views on things. Yes.
Right.
Those are all good. Now, in the old days, honestly, you know, this was a big thing. In all honesty, you can like, can Christians dance?
Yeah.
Now, in the old days, this was a serious thing. I've seen some of you dance, and I can say no. some of you can. No, but yes, so in all seriousness, that was actually a big thing back then. Can you dance? Listen, if you don't believe you can dance, if you want to take your wife out there, go dancing. still dancing. That's all right. You know, cards was a big thing, playing cards. Some of these things are making a resurgence. I'm thinking of people getting their theology off YouTube. You know, and, you know, you're playing, you know, sinner! You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, the Bible doesn't say... You know, or even Christian radio back in the old days. I remember Warren Wiersbe saying this one time, that believe it or not, you know how awesome Christian radio is? What a blessing. Well, when it first came out, the scripture verse they used was, you know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I don't know, some of you guys might be able to, I'm sorry that I wasn't right at that point when he said that. But some of you may remember that. But Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So, you know, that's his territory. So you're... So they actually fought Christian radio, and that was an ungodly thing. We can get caught up in these things. Today, something like, for example, alcohol, okay? For example, the Bible says, we just read it last week, do not get drunk with wine. That's clear. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't say that you couldn't have a glass of wine. Sometimes I wish you did, but it doesn't say that. How about smoking? You know, sometimes people are crying. I'm not going to get to heaven. I smoke. Listen, smoking isn't good for you. And again, it goes like this: it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, brother. And as you're smoking it in, that smoke is getting in, and the Holy Spirit's going, you can't breathe there in this new life. Now, listen: if you smoke, you're still going to get into heaven. Now, it's unhealthy, it wastes your money, it'll give you yellow teeth, bad breath, it'll kill your body, it's a dumb idea. But, it's not going to stop you from being saved. Do you know what I'm saying? Piercings, you know? Yes?
Although it does damage your temple.
Yes, it does. But you know what, to be honest, that's a fair question. But so is you and I going to Five Guys and have that double, triple cheeseburger with bacon. That's probably worse than... I'm just saying, right? A couple of times to Dairy Queens, you know, with the fries. All I'm saying is, dress code, you know? I always wear the holy jeans, so I was going to use them. Anyway, some people will say, I can't believe this pastor got on your holy ripped jeans. You know, I remember when I was in Africa in Kampala, there was this awesome missionary guy here. He was an awesome guy. And when I was down there, I taught at their church and at the Bible College. And I remember him specifically. He would have everybody would dress up in the best clothes, which is fine. And he would be very mad at me because I was teaching in how I look now. And so he was an awesome guy. And one day we really kind of got into it pretty biblically. And then I did a teaching for the church in 1 Samuel, where Samuel went and he looked at all the sons, and he picked that one because he was tall, this one because he was strong, and this one and that one, and whatever. And then he came to David, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you to choose that one. He said, I don't want you to choose that one. I want you to choose the little runtable litter, little David. Because man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he came to me afterwards, and he says, now I understand. I apologize. You know, when I worked for the world, I would dress up in ties and suits all the times, and people treated me differently. They would honor me and respect me, and you know what? I loved it. Shopkeepers, waitresses, everybody would teach me. I would be treated way different, and my flesh loved it. So when I came to the Lord, I said, I don't want to have to do that anymore. Now, if I have a wedding or funeral, I'm going to dress up for your sake. But I don't want to do that anymore. God takes me the way I am. So some of these things, you know, Bible versions... Gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are some great brothers. If you're here today and you don't believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today, I love you, and I know you love the Lord. I believe they're for today, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not something to divide over. If you believe in pre-tribulation rapture and it happens after the tribulation, well, you know what? Whoop-de-dang-do. That's not something that you should divide or call them a heretic or whatever. Those things are just silly. So finding the common ground. And we're already over. So, okay, so really 1.5 verses.
Yeah. All right.
I think I just did a half just to... Sorry. But, is there anything else you want me to say right now? I feel like there's so much more to say, so you'll have to wait till next week. Yes, buddy.
What about Sabbath?
Okay.
Like, how would you say that is? Because
because I know some people who are Christian.
Sure.
Who celebrate their Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hear you. And you know what? That's part of what I was going to tell you those days. And I'm going to have to address it next week.
Okay.
But that will absolutely be addressed. And if I don't, you bring it up. But I will absolutely address that next week. Okay. Is there any questions or comments before we close? I know we went over that testimony. Yes?
He was talking about the smoking and all that. My brother and sister-in-law, she's passed away now.
Yeah.
They were Mormons.
Yeah.
They have a different view on that. They believe smoking, drinking, tattoos, piercings, and stuff like that sends you straight to hell.
Yes. Well, I would say two things about that, just really quickly. First, remind me afterwards, I want to give you an audio teaching on Mormonism. Mormonism is actually a cult. They believe that Jesus Christ is, sometimes I get them in J. Dubs convict. The other cult, Jehovah's Witnesses. But I think they believe that is Lucifer's, Jesus is Satan's brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what they believe, they use the same Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus as what we believe. And so I want to give a teaching to you that would really help illuminate that from a former Mormon, a fourth generation elder Mormon. It's a fantastic teaching, and he has a great heart to reach the Mormons. And so I want to give that to you. But that's a fundamental of the faith. Who you believe Jesus is fundamental.
Well, I'm just blessed, my brother, since my sister-in-law has passed away, she was one pushing the Mormons to my brother. Now that she's passed away, he's come back to
the Lord.
To the Lord.
Well, that's great. Praise
and
the Lord.
My two nephews have too.
That's praise the Lord. And I want to give you that just to help you too. So let's take a minute and let's pray, and then we'll have lots of great things. And Marion, is there anything else you want before we...
You know, we're all such visual people.
Yes.
Whether we believe it or not.
Yes.
At some point, I think symbolisms...
Yes.
You know, flags... Excuse me, sweetheart. You know, the cross.
Yes.
Flowing waters, whatever
yes.
you want to call it. We pick up on those kinds of things where maybe we get diverted or we come over here and, you know, get an emotional thing about the cross and Jesus on it and so on and so forth. It just seems like to me that this whole symbolism thing kind of screws us up.
Well, you know, and that's where, you know what, if you want to have, honestly, if there was a cross up here, somebody would get very offended. Well, Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Know that, boy. You know, but if we had a cross with him on here or a cross without, either way, it's not something to divide over. You know, that's I guess the main point. So we've got lots to say, and there's a lot more that I wanted to say, but that's okay. We had a great time with the testimony. And so let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that you are a personal God that changes lives, Lord. Will you help us to be others-centered, Lord? Would you help us, if we're stronger, to be patient with the weaker brother? And if, of course, nobody probably thinks they're weak, but if we're weaker, Lord God, that we'd be so less quick to judge and anything, Lord, would you just help us to be others-centered and be patient with one another, Lord? We love you and we bless you. And I ask that you bless this amazing, wonderful congregation, Lord God, and bring them back this week for the Bible studies. Lord God, we'll bring them back next Sunday so they can hear the rest of this teaching. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Don't forget, if you want some burgers, back in the back with Lisa.